Rusty Quill presents.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Previously on Planet Arcana.
After laying Riot to rest, the remaining fools made their way across the Gudrun Wilds to the town of Lonestead, home to Celestine's Ma and Pa. No sooner had they reached the outskirts when something very unusual happened. Simon the Spider, the tiny creature who had taken up residence in Riot's hair, rolls out of his current abode in Celestine's pocket and transforms. Where once there was a standard-sized arachnid, there now stands a tall, young, human man with pointed ears and not a stitch of clothing. Simon divulges that he is of the Fae and has embodied many physical forms in his existence, but until now, never a human. And he does not seem to know why he is human now. After some discussion, Crater and Celestine determine they cannot simply leave Simon alone in the Gudrun Wilds with his bits exposed to the elements, and so they invite him to come along with them, for now. Skirting the edge of town, the trio push their borrowed Diplo vehicle to Ma and Pa's farm, where Celestine enjoys a tearful reunion with his surrogate parents. Over some food and some very good weed, the crew recount for Ma their adventure thus far, culminating with Celestine's declaration that he cannot bear to lose another friend to their quest, and so for him, the adventure is over. Ma recommends that no final decisions be made while emotions are high, and welcomes the crew to stay and simply help run the farm for a while. And so they do. For the next several days, our heroes lead a quaint, quiet existence. Typically able to transform at will, Simon is perplexed to find himself stuck as a human, but uses this time to acquaint himself with the mechanics of his new body and to explore his newfound fascination with food. Celestine spends some time helping out in the garage, where Pa encourages him to keep looking for his maker, and discloses that Celestine's lead, Steeljaw McGraw, sometimes purchases Ma's expertly cultivated cannabis. And then, one night, the farm receives a visitor. Picking up an order on behalf of Steeljaw herself, a tall cloud android named Arbor, who recognizes one of our heroes from a time long before he called himself Crater Wayne.
I can hear you.
I am listening.
From all across the Fifth Collide.
Oh, how I miss you, my dearest darling. I miss
the clockwork.
The neon.
The networks.
Oh, these metropolises. These
verdant.
Oh, the fun and games we have planned.
But always with
the promise that we are on a blinding path of success. You will be tried.
Compromised. I repeat, we have been compromised.
But do not despair.
You will
see the world.
You will
know
Planet Arcana.
You will find time.
All it takes is a friend.
All it takes is perseverance.
All it takes
is a key.
A slender but towering cloud android now stands in the foyer. At least as tall as Crater, maybe even a few inches taller. He saunters rather than walks, towering above Ma and looking the epitome of shabby chic in his patterned polyester button-up, matching shorts, and a loose-fitting cream blazer. His legs have panels of oak embedded into the otherwise metallic frame, extending his already impressive height. Ma seems completely at ease with him. Pa, too. It's only when Crater breaks the silence and responds to the name Boulder with a...
Hi, Arbor. What are you doing here?
Does Ma's expression change to a sort of delighted surprise? She looks back and forth between the two of them a moment.
I didn't know y'all knew each other. Well, I'll make tea. Boulder, you are looking just... absolutely huge, if you don't mind my saying so.
Thank you, Arbor. I actually go by Crater now. I know it's been... Okay, how long has it been?
Oh, golly, can't me to expect me to own to it at the age that I'm at. I don't know, let's call it 5 years, back when we were in our 20s, eh? And he winks at you.
Yeah, something like that. What's happening here? Why are you here all of a sudden?
Well, I mean, but Crater, you said?
Crater.
Crater. I like that. It's a little ironic, yeah? Why am I here? Well, I mean, I've got business to conduct. I'm the one who's surprised. I mean, good Lord, last time I heard from you, you up in Midmoss.
Yeah, I've taken a couple detours. Just chilling now, you know.
Oh, Crater, you know I don't believe that you're just chilling. I mean, I believe that you're just chilling, but I think that there's a story here. You don't gotta share it with me, but consider me peaked.
Well, are you sticking around this area? Like, I'm sure we'll have a chance to catch up.
Well, not really, to be honest. I mean, if my empire and amenable, I'd love to put up my feet for an hour or two, have myself some Ceratops milk. Well, is that all right there, Ma? Pa? I forgot the
remark. Pa chimes in instead.
Absolutely. I'll just go and grab some more Triceratops milk from the barn.
Oh, fresh from the source, eh? Can't bait it.
There's like a clattering of dishes in the kitchen as Pa and Ma try to organize like a tea set for all of you.
And who are your friends over here? Your friends? Mom and Pa's friends? Oh, nice to meet you. My name's Abba.
Yes, sorry. This is so incredibly rude of me. This is my good friend, Celestine.
Celestine, nice to meet you.
Hi there.
And this is a relatively new friend. Goes by Simon.
Hello! Oh, hello then. Good to know you. Absolutely love your outfit.
Thank you. Also, did you call me Mom and Pa's friend?
Well, yes, I did.
Nice.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. Interesting fellow there. Well, in any case, I would love to stay for a few hours. Perhaps catch up a little bit with you, Crider. You know what I mean? Do a little catching up.
Yeah. I can understand what you're saying. 100%, yes.
Oh, just as smooth as I remember.
As long as you're going to stay a while, Arbor, maybe you can fill us in on how you know Crater here.
Well, let's just say that Crater and I did some partying together back in our day, didn't we, Crater?
Long time ago.
Yeah, long time ago. Oh, yeah. Right, good time with Crater. And, people drift apart. We hear about each other and the scrapper circles that we run in. And, I'm just glad to see you alive still. A lot of people in our business, they don't make it to our age, do they, Crater?
Not very often, no. Yeah, I'm glad to see that you're doing all right. Last time I saw you, you were all sorts of fucked up. So you look good. I'm glad you look like you're doing better.
Oh, yeah, I feel good. You know, I'm starting to take a little bit of an easier route through life. You know, a little bit less partying, but that requires a little bit less money. So I can take some of the smoother jobs that still are a little bit fun, you know, like running around, picking up supplies, meeting new people. Well, what about yourself?
Oh, you know, last couple of years trying to see as much of the Fifth Collide as possible, trying to keep my nose clean, just visiting some old friends, having some tea, and yeah, you know, chilling, as I said.
Chilling, as you said. Well, I always said Crider Wayne's got the cleanest nose of all the scrappers I ever knew.
I think at that, Ma and Pa bring in cups of tea for everybody. Nice herbal tea, very earthy, almost certainly something that grows on the farm. And as they pass it around, as Pa hands Arbor his cup of tea, Pa just asks, hey, Arbor, how much you picking up this time?
Well, I was hoping for about 20 pounds if you can spare it.
20 pounds.
Ma and Pa look at each other and just like nod, and then they go back and start packing some bags.
And what is it that you plan to do with 20 pounds of Ma and Pa's good weed?
Well, I'm on a supply run. These are some supplies that I'm picking up, of course. Winks at Crater.
Am I supposed to know what that means?
Roll me an insight.
Oh, that was a nat one, so I don't think.
Yeah, it could mean anything and nothing.
Okay. I wink back.
I think he blushes a little bit.
And Arbor, would you mind enlightening us as to who you're on a supply run for?
Oh, afraid I can't do that. But as he says that, Ma from the kitchen is like, I would steal Joe McGraw, don't you know? Oh, Ma, what the shit, Ma? What? I'm on a secret supply mission for a very dangerous criminal and you just told him who I'm working for. This here's our damn son, Arbor. All right, whatever you can say in front of us, you can say in front of him. Well, shit. Feck, I'm working for Steel Drum of Gore, I guess.
Well, that is interesting.
But that stays in this room, you hear me?
Well, I was actually hoping to meet Steel Jaw McGraw while I'm in town here.
Oh, well, you're hoping to meet Steel Jaw McGraw, eh? And what for?
Just a friendly conversation.
Oh, I'm afraid I can't be delivering messages about friendly conversations without any elaboration.
Well, it's a personal matter, but I will say that Steeljaw was recommended to me by Yeehaw McGraw.
You're telling me that Yeehaw McGraw gave you Steeljaw's name?
That is exactly what I'm saying.
I think Arbor leans back and kind of scratches at his chin for a bit and locks eyes with Crater across the room.
Crater, you got anything to tell me about this?
I mean, it would be amazing if you could set up a meeting for these two. I trust Celestine. And look, if we're being honest, I think you owe me a couple of favors. Maybe I cash in on one of those.
Oh, all right. I'll say no more. All right. I know exactly what you mean. And certainly do. Don't want to leave you hanging dry here, but you know what these jobs are like. I can't just go back to Steeljaw and say some kid at the farm was asking for questions, dropping your name. He wants to talk about a private matter. Oh, I'll lose my job. I gotta have something to offer in return. Let's see here. Say, Crater, back up in Midmoss there. You were involved in Rat, weren't you?
Yeah, for a long time now, yeah.
I've been hearing for years that the best Rat was coming from Midmoss.
You're damn right, Ted.
Well, that's been my experience, but, frankly, there's been a bit of an upheaval of sorts between the specters and possibly some scrappers who've been engaged with him. And we got our hands on some Midmoss Rat recently. Only, it looks just like Midmoss Rat. Smells just like it. Tastes just like it. Not that I taste it. Just put it right in my skin. In any case, it doesn't quite feel like the stuff that y'all were making back up in Midmoss, does it? It feels a little different. Specifically the A component of the RAT, the audio part.
Are you saying that someone's making some counterfeit Midmoss Rat in this area?
Seems to be likely, and it's rather intense, eh? A bunch of us took it together and that night we could all hear each other's voices in our dreams and other voices while we were awake. And not that that's absolutely unheard of with Rat, but I must say it there was something unfamiliar about it, something a little more intense.
The other voices that you were hearing, did you recognize any of them? Did they identify themselves?
I mean, aside from the ones of all my buddies that I took Rat with, no, I can't say I did recognize them. In fact, sometimes I couldn't even understand their words. In any case, this has got Steeljaw real, she's got her head all wrapped up in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if I could go back to Steeljaw and tell her that I've got one of the people who worked on the original Midmoss Rat to come take a look, well, that might sway you.
I think I'd look over at Celestine and give like a, okay. This is important to you. It's important to us, right?
It is. After what Yeehaw said to us, I mean, I don't know what comes next, but I'm here. And Steeljaw's here, and we got this person just walk right up to the front door knowing Steeljaw. Seems foolish to pass up the chance to get some answers. But I don't want you to do anything you ain't comfortable with, Crater.
Arbor, I'd be happy to take a look if you can set up a meeting with Steeljaw. I want to be crystal clear that there's no promises. Like, I can look at the formula and, like, maybe try and see what's going on. But, like, honestly, when I was making it, it was mostly out of muscle memory. So, like, I can give it my best shot, but there's no promises.
Well, I mean, is there any possibility that you'd be able to show us your methods for purposes of comparison?
Yes.
You don't have to give up your formula. I'm not asking for your formula. Okay? I'm just asking, even if you have some on you, for comparison's sake.
Yeah. So I wasn't, okay. I wasn't saying no. I wasn't saying yes, sir. That was, I don't know why I said yes as I was thinking about the answer to your question.
You're just such a people pleaser.
I don't like when people are angry in the same room as me, yes.
All right, tell you what. Here's what Abba's going to do for you. All right? And this is okay. Just because I like you so much, Crater. Winks again.
I wink back.
Blushes again. I can't take it a steel jaw right now. Right, I'm going back to HQ. You didn't hear that that's where I'm going. All right? I'm putting a lot of faith in yous. I'm going back to HQ. I can't take you there. All right? What I can do is give you a pair of coordinates. Let's say, about that fissure about a day is out of town. That's a pretty good landmark. We'll meet you right about the middle of that. And we'll have ourselves a negotiation. You can lay out what you know about Rat for Steeljaw, and hopefully she'll be amenable to answering whatever questions you have there, young Celestine. And then you and I, Crater, we can have ourselves a little party just for old time's sake. What do you say?
I think for the first time in this conversation, Crater's going to stand up from the kitchen table just to try to get eye to eye and like shake his hand. And then when he stands up, he remembers that Arbor is like 4 inches taller than he is. So he's looking up at him, which is not something that Crater does quite often. Yeah, sounds like a deal to me, Arbor.
Oh, right. They put it there, mate. And he takes, clasps you by the arm and like also by the upper arm and like cops a bit of a squeeze at your
I don't know, whatever goes for a bicep.
Whatever goes. There's like a freshly installed ass right there.
I see you got a freshly installed ass right there.
It cost so much money.
Oh, it looks like it cost so much money. How's the performance on that
thing? Okay, then.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Ma and Pa are in the room here. Come on, have some respect.
It was really inappropriate. Ma, Pa, I'm real sorry. I talked about Crater's butt. I'm real sorry. Just look at it, though. I'm sorry. All right, that's enough for me. Let's have some milk. Pa, you still got that canister board?
Yeah. Crater and I were actually right in the middle of a game, so have a seat.
Absolutely fab.
I just got a couple questions.
Get out of there, Simon.
What is a Steeljaw McGraw? What is a yeehaw? And what is a rat?
Oh, those are some interesting questions there, Simon. All right, let's see. I'll do my best here, all right? Steeljaw McGraw is fearsome. She is large, but not as large as Crater. Hmm. And she is my boss. Yeehaw McGraw is, I believe, a cousin of hers.
Cousins.
Getting one McGraw's name from another. Should hold some weight, luckily for you. And what was the last question? Rat?
What is a rat?
Oh, it's a drug.
A drug.
It intoxicates you. Makes your head rotate. Gives you auditory hallucinations.
Wobbly bobblies.
Exactly. And then you just feel terrific. Unless you're taking the creation point rat, in which case it's mostly auditory.
I like drugs.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, now, Simon, you have tried exactly one that I know of.
I liked it.
Maybe that's a... Well, yes.
I did. The man likes drugs. That's that. What's wrong? No, nothing wrong with that.
It sounds like something I would like.
Oh, yeah. It's just wonderful. I mean, to a point.
To a point. Right.
To a point. That's important. Always remember that.
Okay, so I think I'm getting the hang of this human thing. Okay, I'm going to do an impression of a human.
All right.
Everything in moderation.
I mean, that's kind of spot on, honestly.
That's pretty good, I gotta say.
I don't know. I don't know. Humans are really weird. Is this like a young human thing?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Let's go with that.
You all sort of settle into the night, and Arbor stays around but doesn't overstay his welcome. It's pretty clear that Ma and Pa are quite familiar with him and used to him being here in his presence. And so, you know, they refill the tea pot a couple times, after a couple cups of tea. They even like go and grab a bit of like brown liquor and bring it out and have like everyone has like a little shot. And it's getting late, close to 8:45 p.m. or so. And Arbor stands up and gives a farewell.
Farewell to y'all. And I hope to see you at these coordinates. Let's say, all right, I'm going to get back to HQ. Got to tell Steele and travel to the Fisher. 1 week, all right? 1 week from now at the coordinates I gave you, Crater.
Okay, looking forward to it.
Not as much as I am.
God, I'm going to climb that man like a tree.
Wow!
Oh my god. Pa looks at you, Crater, and is just like, listen, I wouldn't say I'm the most observant of folks with this kind of thing, but I definitely felt some chemistry between you two. Holy moly.
That's definitely, it's more of a one-way chemistry. I thought he's fun, but like he's the kind that kind of gets old pretty quick, you know?
Mm.
And how long, Crater, were the two of you involved?
That's what I'm wondering.
Never. Once maybe. Like it was a fun night, you know. But it was like a one-time thing, and then like woke up hungover and it was like, "Oh, you look different now." And then awkwardly leave. You know, it's one of those things. You know Celestine, you know one of those?
I do not. I'm afraid.
I don't know those things either.
Yes. On this, Simon and I are of similar experience.
Was there like a long will they, won't they leading up to this here single night of passion? That's always how it happens in my novels.
Great question.
I mean, I don't, on my end, I don't think so. It was more of like, the night's coming to an end, the lights are coming on, everybody partner up, otherwise you'll miss out.
On what?
Oh, Simon. Well, nice little kisses.
I understand.
Paw wiggles his eyebrows.
See, when a fox burrows a hole.
Oh, my God.
No.
The
please,
cuck fox.
Crater, not that again. Hold on.
Wow.
I mean, well. Okay, Arbor's not a bad guy. He can be a little intense. What I'm trying to get at is I think he's trustworthy. But have your guard up around him, you know.
Do you have any idea what kind of company he might be keeping aside from Steeljaw McGraw? Do we have any way of knowing if he's associated with people that we should be wary of?
I mean, he's always kind of run with a bit of a tougher crowd, but honestly, I haven't seen him in years, so I don't really know his exact connections right now. He's kind of the person that kind of knows everybody at the same time.
And if I might ask, Crater, where were y'all when you were, well, when you knew each other? Because he said that you weren't in Midmoths.
Well, I used to travel around a little bit. I spent some time out in Viridesia.
Really?
Great parties out there, right?
Well, yes. I mean, we've been to a couple.
Quite a number.
Crater, I wish you'd tell us stories more often. Didn't know any of this about you.
Oh, it's not that interesting. Like,
well, I don't know about that.
Getting fucked up is always... It's always a lot more fun getting fucked up than, like, hearing a story about the time someone got fucked up, you know?
Well, fair enough, but if you ever feel like regaling us with tales of your youth, I know I'd be interested.
I would, too.
Okay, so we were at this bar owned by this dude named Jackalope, right? There was a bowl in the center of the table, and everybody's keys were going into it, right? And there was just a person walking around with a tray that had all the joints you could ever smoke, all the rat you could ever take. It was just fucking fantastic.
As Crater's story continues, perhaps you all tuck yourselves into your sleeping rolls in Celestine's childhood bedroom and drift off to the sound of Crater's drug and sex-laden exploits.
So next thing I knew, I had a leather mask on that zipped up the front.
I approve.
Keeps coming back to the mask.
It's a bit of a whiplash to go from the tales of Crater's youth into sleep, and then even further beyond sleep, the way you've gone many times before, though notably not you, Simon. Sleep itself is still new to you. Close your eyes. Think of repetitive, mundane things until you drift further and further away and you get pulled further yet. And even more so, you can feel the presence of Crater and Celestine being pulled in tandem into a parallel network, digital and dream. And in this place, just like before, many voices call out to you, trepidatious, in awe, with affection, with fear, with anger. Crater, you can feel that they're trying to, like last time, incorporate and combine you, but they cannot. Unlike last time, they simply cannot. And so finally, when five voices become the strongest among the fray, you realize that you yourself must choose this time. At this point, you're very familiar with identifying the voices that have been calling out to you. The moon, the sun, a sensation of balance, a sensation of chaos, or an introspective sensation?
Ooh. I think recently Crater's been grappling with thoughts of mortality for obvious reasons. So I think he might wander towards the introspective voice.
You wander toward the introspective voice. You've been grappling with feelings of mortality, and as you follow it, it becomes familiar in a second way, in a distant way, in a way that pierces between time and space. And when you hear its voice, it all becomes clear because you find yourself speaking to the hermit.
Fool who is made of three, has one of you slipped away? You who suffered a great loss, who retreat into solitude, into introspection, have you seen enough? And you, who have lived over 1,000 years. Are you not exhausted? I seldom entangle myself in the affairs of others, and I seldom escape an entanglement with people unscathed. But after careful reflection, I emerge from solitude. Please, the world is noisy and messy. I only wish to be alone. And yet, every time a person manages to reach me, my existence worsens. Long have I wished for peace from the noise. Find the key. Open the box. Then let me escape the noise. Allow me to die with dignity and to leave no replacement.
Where can I find the key? Like, tell me where to go.
Is this an answer you seek? I may offer you one, but it must be within my domain.
Yes, please. Are you able to tell me if the key is like a literal physical key?
It isn't yet. The key will become tangible when body, mind, soul, and the will of the fool combine. You've met the soul. Find the body. Find the mind. And the will manifest.
And as you receive your answer, the hermit retreats once more into solitude. Celestine, you and Simon were at the threshold of each other's consciousnesses, of Crater's consciousness as all this occurred, and the Arcana turned their attention to you now. And Celestine, you hear this time only the voices of four, and I will ask you to choose between the Hanged Man, the Star, a sensation of balance, and a sensation of chaos.
I really want to talk to the Star again, but when we heard death at Riot's funeral, it sounded like death referred to Riot as chaos. And so that's where I want to go.
You turn towards chaos. You tumble towards chaos, really. You go careening towards chaos. And only by being caught on the edge of what feels like a sheer metaphysical cliff do you stop and face it. A being born in perfect calamity. The tower.
Boom! Pow! The fool's chaos goes down and the Arcana are shaken to their cores. My powerful calamitous fool, hear me! Whatever you do, keep going. Keep smashing. You're already breaking reality. Do the 3 fools minus 1 equal 2? Nope, still 3, but with 1 exploding, scattering into fine mist that lives absolutely everywhere. Okay, what about 3 fools minus 1 plus 1 spider? What about 3 fools minus 1 plus 1 spider plus 1 awakened vessel and an agent of upheaval? A powerful tool for the fools. Down with the old guard, in with the new. Android, human, and Arcana, may none of us be safe from the chaos of change.
You want the 3 fools to bring calamity and change, and out with the old guard, in with the new. But what happens if we do not?
You ask a question within the tower's domain. Chaos, upheaval, revolution.
What happens if you do not? What will happen? The door closes. The fools die. Chaos is waiting at the end of the road anyway. If you stop now, you'll never see her again.
What do you mean?
What does it mean? But even under the best of circumstances, getting a straightforward answer out of the tower is like trying to stab water with a knife. Fuck.
That was good. You bailed
Thank
on it,
you.
Though.
Yeah, yeah. Had you committed, I think we all would have been like, ooh.
All right.
Everybody hold that ooh. I'm going to try that again. Trying to get a straight answer out of tower is like trying to stab water with a knife.
Ooh. And
thank you. And as the presence of this absolutely chaotic arcana dissolves around you, you feel yourself and Crater receding to the edges of Simon's mind. A wholly new experience, and yet there is a touch of something familiar, just a hint of something purple and sharp and beautiful. And Simon, you feel them, but most of all what you feel is the presence of a very, very, very familiar arcana. Only one voice calls out to you. Simon! Wow! And you find yourself before
the Empress. my sweet Simon. My goodness, this is the first time a fae has ever become human. Wow, it's just so magical.
It's so good to see you. I don't know what to make of it.
I know this is a little weird, okay? You're used to just being able to reach out to me whenever you want, all right? I just want to let you know I'm still here. Just because you can't hear me all the time doesn't mean I can't hear you. How does it feel in the network, honey?
Feels funny. Feels like the wind got knocked out of my lungs and Rainbow took its place.
You like it being human?
I think so. I couldn't turn back.
Simon the Spider, you'll always be a spider in my heart. But now you can rise up to the ranks of which a fae has never achieved. Let me ask you something, my sweet, precious child, Simon. Would you like to become a fool?
What do you mean?
A fool, Simon. Would you like to join the ranks of all the fools that came before you? All those who nobly set out to complete or try to complete a collective journey. Those that reach out and touch the face of the Arcana. And not just me, Simon. You'll have all of the Arcana within your reach. But I know you'll bring me with you, won't you?
Oh, always.
I knew you would.
I don't know if you have the right person.
Oh, Simon. There's never been a fae who's become a human before. You are absolutely blessed and special. Why, I remember when you were a mere ray of light piercing at the horizon thousands of years ago, and look at you now.
What would happen to me if I became a fool?
I don't know, Simon. To be honest with you, that's what is so exciting to me. But if I could pose a theory, I think that you would become more important than any fae, or any android, or any human who ever lived before you. I think that you, and I, and the other fools, would have the power to nurture all of life together. We could ripple through the cosmos.
And that would be good for the collective.
Oh, I think so, don't you? For you and I, Simon the Spider, Simon the Human, and the Empress, loving, nurturing, willing to share her abundance, raining our love down upon the entire world. How does it sound?
I couldn't ever say anything but yes to you, Empress.
Oh, Simon, I knew that you wouldn't let me down. Oh, my sweet baby, may I offer you a question in my domain?
And the Empress's domain is nature, abundance, and nurturing.
The two that I'm traveling with?
Yes.
Crater and Celestine, they have something. They haven't shown me, but I've felt it a lot, and it's getting stronger. What does the fool have to do with that thing and the collective journey?
I believe what you're asking about, Simon, is the box, is it not?
Yeah.
Oh, the box represents an ultimate abundance, Simon. An abundance of willpower. Will of the fool, Simon. Only it's not whole yet. But when it is, it will have what it takes to let us see the world.
Will Crater and Celestine be okay?
As long as one fool is okay, the others will be.
How do we open the box?
Oh, Simon, to open the box, all you need to
It's bizarre and haunting the way that you are cut, severed almost entirely from the warm embrace of the only Arcana you've ever known, and thrown back into that clamoring of voices, a little quieter than when you were pulled in, but still present. Voices you knew the names of for thousands of years, but only now do you hear echoing through this strange plane of existence known as the Dream Network. And then all of you wake.
Well, that hasn't happened in a while.
Sleeping is exhausting.
That's not proper sleep. Sleep's great, Simon. That is just a thing that happens sometimes to us, and well, I guess it it's gonna happen to you now.
It's not very comfy.
No. No, it ain't. Y'all see what I saw?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that too. Hell, Simon, if you already know about it.
Sorry.
Here. I don't know. Maybe you can make sense of this thing. I'll toss the box over to Simon.
And he just like, he takes like a really big inhale and like holds it like it weighs 50 pounds. But he settles into it and looks down at it with just like the most robust look of awe. As though he's like drinking in its presence.
Oh. See that symbol on the side there? That's pretty new. That just showed up a couple of days ago.
This one?
Yeah. The upside down triangle there.
It appeared there after Paragarden when we encountered, I don't know exactly.
A big fucking beast.
The big beast. I don't know how much of this you were aware of, Simon. I know that you were there, but, well, there was a big whale, and...
I remember the whale.
You remember the whale. I don't know how else to say it, but within the whale is a part of someone that I think I used to know.
DMs, would I know this symbol / its significance?
So the answer is no, but we're going to tell you why in private, and you can decide whether or not you'd like to reveal it.
I have no idea what this means. Fae don't have like a written history, only oral. So we don't have any symbols or anything like this that makes sense to us. But I don't know. I'm getting a lot of feelings off of this thing. It's very powerful, just like I thought. Can I open it?
Well, I mean, you certainly can try. Riot was able to pick the lock once and open it, but it didn't seem to be anything inside when she did that. But you're welcome to it.
I guess I just want to snoop around on it a little bit and, like, see if there's anything that I would notice that's unusual about it.
I think fair to say, even without, like, a check or a roll or anything here, that it's as unmarked as everybody expects it to be, save for that one new symbol. As a former fae, or like a semi-fae or demi-fae or whatever you are now, this thing fucking reeks of magic. Like, you could sense it. And you're right. Like, you could sense it on them before they even told you about it. And now that you're holding it in your hands, like, you were pretending that it was really heavy, and it is. It's heavy with magic. It's heavy with this feeling that's really hard to describe.
I don't know what to make of it.
Well, join the club.
It's just as powerful, more than I thought it was going to be. And this has to do with the fool?
Far as we can tell, it's something about the fool completing a collective journey. And, the Arcana have been referring to Crater Riot and myself as the fools, plural, for some time now. I think there is some connection between finding the key to this box, whatever, wherever that may be, and completing that journey.
And let me get this straight. We want the collective journey to happen.
Well,
I guess so.
That's a tricky question, too.
I'm new to the whole thing, so I just...
No, they, Simon, you, we don't know much more about this than you do, but what I can say is that Crater and I, we were shown something that happened in the past, and at that time, it seemed like powerful people were trying to prevent the end of a collective journey, and that meant no more death, which I suppose you could see as a good thing, but it also meant, well... no more change and no more growth.
That's very bad.
I would agree. It seems that did not come to pass all that time ago, but I don't know if you are aware of the history of this place, but when that did not come to pass, there was a catastrophe. All the androids lost their memories, and, well, that was 4,000 years ago, and took us some time to rebuild, as far as I understand. So, it sounds like preventing a collective journey from completing is very bad, but it also sounds like there are real risks to the other side.
It's funny, as Faye, we have different conceptualizations of these things. It's not necessarily out loud, it's just known. So it's funny to hear all the words out loud. It's so much going on. It's so hard to encapsulate it all in words. It's been going on for a while, too. I'm sure you felt it.
You mean like the last few months or longer than that?
The last few months. The day the Earth shook. Things haven't been the same since then.
As far as we can tell, that is when it started.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, Crater, that business that you were told by the Hermit, if Sombra and the Whale was the soul, and I suppose based on my memories, it might stand to reason that Monophonic within the Hummingbird might be the mind.
I think that tracks.
Then the third beast is the body. And those tremors were felt here in the Good on Wilds, mostly.
Arbor did ask us to come and meet him at the fissure.
Here's the thing, though, Crater. I don't know who, if anybody, is connected to that third beast.
I mean, Celestine, if we're being honest, you probably do. You just don't know that you do.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Find the body, find the mind, and the will manifest.
That's what we're told. But did y'all hear what the tower said? That if we complete the collective journey, we might see Riot again?
How? I don't know. I don't know if I trust in that thing. I mean, I thrive on chaos, but that's a bad chaos. Yeah.
That's some bad chaos.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd want that, because I know that she didn't want that.
I miss her, but you're right.
I mean, I'm glad you said it, Simon. I don't know if the tower is trustworthy either. I'm glad I'm not the only one that felt that way. But at the very least, I think we should consider what it said. It also said something about wanting the vessel to be awakened. Does that mean anything to anybody?
Well, we heard that Mesmera was making like a great being or something. Like using the best pieces of many. That sounds like a vessel to me.
I think you're right about that, Crater. That makes sense. Here's the other thing that I can't shake since we saw whatever we saw in the Aqua Catch before the big oops. The regent at the time, she lived longer than any android is supposed to live. And Quintessa made some reference to the regent's first build. Can androids take on a new body? Like a vessel?
Not that I know of. I've never heard of that. That seems... I don't know, that seems impossible to me.
Well, we can count that among the many things that have seemed impossible until we saw them happen.
I mean, are we ever going to discuss the fact that, like, you might be, like, 4,000 years old? Is that a...
I don't know, Crater. I mean, that sure don't make no sense.
Celestine?
Yes?
How can you stay here having all this information fed to you every night? How can you want to just, you know, throw up your boots instead of, like, going out there and really seeing this to its answers?
Well, Simon, you know, that is how I felt at the very beginning. I mean, I didn't go looking for none of this. This just kind of happened, but I wanted the answers, and I wanted to know what I could do to help.
Well, you still can.
Yeah, but what happens if something happens to Crater here, you know? Or, well, heck, Simon, you. I don't want to see nothing happen to you, and it looks like you're just getting yourself mixed up in all this without too much thought about it. I saw what you said with the Empress there. You're one of the fools now. So I guess you're in this as much as anybody. Aren't you concerned about what might happen?
Of course I'm concerned, but the biggest thing I've learned, and I don't know anything, but what I do know is the fifth collide. I think I know it pretty well. And I very much enjoy being alive. I love traveling around, and I love seeing all the pieces. I love feeling all of the other beings and minds running around in it. But if it was me, I'd give me away in a second for the fifth collide.
Well, I don't mind so much giving me away, Simon. I just don't want to give my friends away.
I don't want to give you guys away either. I think your lives are very important. And I think the likely outcome here isn't necessarily the worst one. I can see how this affects you. I can see your desire to find out more spinning around in the backs of your eyes. It's something, and it completes you in a way. I can see it. And here it's safe, and it's lovely, and I love everything about it. But I can hear your pining, just a little bit.
Yeah, Celestine, after we meet up with Steeljaw for you, I think there might be a bit of a crossroads here where I have to continue. And if you want to stay back with your mom and pa, I fully respect that. But if you want to see this through to the end, I'd love to have you by my side here.
I sure appreciate that, Crater. And you too, Simon. Some insightful, if unsettling, words. You're not really supposed to be able to hear the things that are behind my eyes or whatever.
Sorry,
you said.
And maybe, I didn't listen.
Yeah, like that's a little private, maybe. I don't know. But
I didn't ask for it. Just kind of, you know, anyway.
Well, we'll have to talk about that in the future.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I just don't know, Crater. I just don't know yet. I just don't know if I'm up for it. But
Riot would have.
Yeah, I know.
You're worried about us. Nothing lasts forever, right? Like what Simon was saying, this might be bigger than any of us. It might be worth it.
Well, of course it's bigger than any of us. I know. Y'all are right, okay? And Maul was right the other night. I understand. But I'm responsible for bringing us all back safe. You know, that's what I do, Crater. And it's hard not to do that. It's hard not to feel like I can trust myself to help y'all out in a jam. And so, look, we're gonna do this thing with Steeljaw, okay? At least I need to know what, if anything, she knows. And I can't deny that it is, well, fate, destiny, that stuff's starting to bug the crap out of me, but Arbor just walks right in here and offers us a path to somebody we didn't know how to find, and feels like I can't pass that up.
Kind of feels like the world's telling you to keep going.
I didn't know you for very long, before Riot, anyway. But I've heard you talk a lot about not being able to protect people. And I think it's such a beautiful aspect of your personality that you just want to have everything on your shoulders. That shouldn't be just for you, and I think you could use a little help. No one should be expected to take that load. I just wanted to let you know that Simon is a life cleric and has a shit ton of healing powers.
Oh, shit.
So, wow. That's not how it happens, but Simon says, I'm really good at healing. And, you know, you don't have to face this alone. You don't have to be the only one. We'll all do it together. And we'll be a little bit safer having two of us. What do you think?
You could help me, keep us safe. You help me keep Crater here safe.
It's honestly, like, the only thing that I want to do.
You hear Ma from the basement. Boys, come and get your breakfast, succotash.
Oh, except for eat. I love to eat as well.
And drugs.
And drugs.
Hey, it's me, one of your GMs, B. Listen, are you caught up on Planet Arcana but hungry for more? Well, we've got more, lots more, on our Patreon, where patrons enjoy perks like early ad-free episodes, access to members-only channels in our Discord server, and monthly episodes of our talkback show, Recharge. Recharge is special. It's where we go to decompress, talk about the events of the sessions, vent to each other, bully each other, love on each other, learn more about each other. And honestly, every episode we... laugh so hard that we pee our pants, and that could be you. We're also excited to announce several new membership tiers on our Patreon. So in addition to the perks mentioned, you can also get in on an artwork club where you receive a new piece of Planet Arcana art in the mail every month. We have an exclusive merchandise tier where you can get a piece of merch that is only available on our Patreon, a tier with custom audio messages from the cast. We even have a tier where Jay and I will run a TTRPG session for you and your friends. We've also set ourselves some goals that we're excited to hit, like rerunning the heist at Riskotech with the player's unused characters, and hosting an exclusive online concert featuring Jay and Sky Wallace. Finally, we are excited to announce the launch of our official merch store. You can find the link on our website at planetarcana.com. Right now, we have 5 colorful designs for t-shirts, hoodies, or crew necks in a wide array of sizes, and we'll be introducing new designs over the coming months. So, check out the Planet Arcana Patreon if that sounds like a good time to you. Follow us on our socials, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. If you feel like it, review and rate us. We love that. And thanks for listening, and back to the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I think Celestine just sits in the room by himself for a bit and just thinks to himself for a while before coming down.
Celestine lags behind a little bit, but eventually you all end up at the breakfast table, and there is just a fabulous succotash that Ma has prepared for you all. And it's like fucking 6 a.m. or something.
Wow, Ma. Sleeping it again, huh, boys?
Mm-hmm. It was a rough night.
Well, y'all just eat up.
This is delicious, Ma.
Succotash, one of my favorite Good on Wild delicacies.
What's in it? I can never remember the recipe.
It's a succotash and some salt. Low and slow, baby. Now, Simon, I can't help but notice that you're awfully cute, but there's just food going absolutely everywhere.
Ah, sweet.
No, that's all right, honey. But if you're going to be going out in the world, I think you need to learn some table manners.
I just can't help it. It's such a good experience.
You ain't going to learn them from me, honey. It don't come natural to old Ma, but I live on a farm. You know what I mean?
Nope.
Well, that being as it may, I recommend that y'all go into town and seek yourself up Mr. Smartsy Barkeep, the barkeeper and school teacher. I think he can teach you a thing or two about food and etiquette.
Let's go.
Barkeep and school teacher? One-stop shop. That's all you need.
Okay, so at some point, you know, there's, you have a week to go and meet Steeljaw and Arbor at this location. It's probably going to take you a day to get out there. So you have a bit of time to just, like, do a few last-minute errands, or perhaps just, like, sulk around. Sorry, I don't know why I said that. That was so mean.
Yeah, someone's being a big baby.
I feel personally attacked by that one.
Sorry, I don't know why I said that.
Just be a mopey little cowboy.
Yeah, I mean, if that's your vibe, no judgment.
Well.
I'm going to be a mopey little cowboy for Halloween.
But, Simon, perhaps taking up Ma's suggestion and also hearing her when she says that she's not going to be able to teach him etiquette, perhaps, Simon, you find your way into Lonestead proper. And at the bar is a school.
Wow.
I love Lonestead.
Drugs and learning.
It's incredible. It's revolutionary. And when you walk in, there are a bunch of little kids, mostly almost predominantly human in this town and pretty much the entire Good and Wilds. And they're all sat at there does seem to be some like regular school desks in here, but they've been pushed aside in favor of long tables that have like a nice tablecloth dressed. And there seems to be a number of different sizes of cutlery and different cups and things and just like a bunch of things on the table that, Simon, it looks a bit extraneous to you. But as you walk in, you see a human, looks to be late 30s, slender, tall, has a tiny, well-manicured mustache that curls up at the ends. He's wearing a dusty but well-tailored three-piece jean suit. And as you walk in, he sort of approaches you, the only non-child here. That's him, by the way, who I'm referring to. And he walks up to you and he just says, well, 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 do I have a new student for today?
Wow, hello.
Wow.
I love your clothes.
Well, thank you so much. What's your name, honey?
I'm Simon the Spider, and I would like to learn etiquette.
Okay, Simon the Spider. Well, my name is Smartsy Barkeep, and you've come to the right place. Everybody's here is just getting ready to tuck into the lesson, and why don't you find yourself a seat, and I'll take the head of the table, and, well, you know, I haven't seen you around town.
I'm new.
Okay, and where are you staying?
Ma and Pa's.
Ma and Pa's. How fascinating. I haven't known someone to stay out there for a while, so I might be interested in picking your brain after this about, well, who's keeping their company, because they don't let just anybody in. But you know what? Time for that later. Let's get class started. And he claps his hands, and he walks to the head of the table. And he starts giving a lesson about etiquette specifically for a dinner party in the Good on Wilds. No elbows on the table. That's rule number one, of course. And this fork for this, this fork for that, never the twain shall meet. This spoon for this and this spoon for that. One of my most valuable lessons, and trust me, I had to learn this the hard way, is that if you're going to be cracking jokes at the table, jokes must be PG. That means, well, I don't rightly know what that means, but
pretty good. So, it means they need to be pretty good.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying, is that if you crack a joke that's not PG, it better be funny.
What about truth or dare at the table?
Truth or dare at the table? That is a fine question, not one I've had before. And you see that when you ask that, all the other kids are like, yeah, yeah, what about truth or dare at the table? Yeah, and yeah. Smartsy thinks for a minute and is just like, you know, as long as it follows the rules of the last outline that I provided, that it must be PG and it must be funny, then I don't see any reason why not.
I don't know what PG means, so absolutely.
Me neither. He goes on. Make sure to thank and sincerely compliment the hosts. Offer to do the dishes. These next few are, Good on Wild specific, so you might have a bit of trouble trying to use them outside the Badlands, but, always, always make sure to compliment the Ceratops milk on being fine and green. Two more points. If it's a hootenanny dinner, bring your hootenanny shoes. And finally, if offered leftovers to take home, you must refuse.
Yes, you should say yes, right?
You must say yes. You are correct. You cannot leave without the leftovers, but you must refuse them twice.
Why?
That's etiquette, honey.
I don't know if I like etiquette.
Well, not all of us like etiquette, but it's sort of a unspoken rules that we've all decided to follow.
The tables look a bit extraneous to me, if I'm being honest.
The kids are like, yeah, we hate tables. I don't want
to have fuck tables.
Tables are so dumb. How smartsy do we have to use tables?
You know, yes, you do have to use tables, but not here. You know, here I am providing you with the tools to be a perfect dinner guest, but you know what? And he gets like sort of a mischievous grin on his face, and then he gets up and he tries to do the thing where you pull out the tablecloth from underneath all the stuff. And I'd like to roll to see how well this goes.
Yes. Thank God.
I rolled an 8, so I think he gets up and he's like, and certainly a bit of magic will always go over well, and he goes to pull it and all of the glasses clatter and clink and smash and crash and all the plates go everywhere, and all the kids start screaming. He just laughs, but they bring out just like a bit of food. There's like a couple helpers that he's got here, looks like older kids, and they bring out some food that's been prepared. Surprisingly, succotash looks a lot like Ma's recipe, but Simon, as you smell it, it's not quite the same.
Something's wrong with this succotash.
Succotash and sausage, my favorite.
Not just succotash and salt.
Smartsy kind of checks on all the kids as you're being served, but he notices you like kind of giving the succotash a side eye, and he comes over and he's like, well, what's wrong with the succotash?
The succotash is sus.
Now, where did you learn that word?
I don't know.
What makes it sus?
It is not as good as Ma's.
I'm going to have you roll a persuasion check here.
All right.
That's some bad etiquette here.
Ooh, rolled a 19, so that is 26.
Oh, what shit. The fuck? Holy shit,
roll
okay.
The big boy rolls.
He looks at you, and then there's like an uncomfortable moment where it's just like you just pause both in silence, and then he starts laughing. He's just like, well, I did say if you make a joke, they must be funny, so you seem to have picked up something.
I don't know why Simon is so suspect of this guy.
That's so fair. I really like that, because Simon's liked almost everyone that you've met already, so this guy.
Maybe one of the kids comes up and is like, Simon, you need to try to dip the succotash in molasses. Here, you can try mine.
Okay, and I try it.
It is sweet and salty now.
Okay, that's different. I didn't know one makes the other shine.
They're greater than the sum of their parts.
Why didn't anybody tell me about this?
What, about molasses?
Sweet and savory together.
And Simon starts to piece together the different elements, salt, fat, acid, heat, as they were. And I think, like, maybe some recipes start stewing in your brain, Simon.
You know that scene from Ratatouille when he eats the pear and the cheese and they swim around on top of his head? That is very much the affliction that Simon has currently.
Amazing. As the day goes on, Smartsy brings out a number of different other kinds of foods. You are treated to a Triceratops egg. Only one. It's absolutely massive, but he's quite pleased with himself about having procured this because it's not very common. So much green Triceratops milk. And a third thing.
Eggs and milk?
Dinos lay eggs. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But I just think it's funny that they have nipples and they lay eggs.
Well,
they're birds.
Mammal lizards.
Birds don't have nipples.
Yeah.
I love it. It's just very funny. What's the milk for?
Themselves.
You get treated to a lot of different types of food. And as the lesson is wrapping up and the kids are starting to leave, Smartsy just says, now, kids, do not forget to tell your parents to pick up a bottle of my finest prickly pear liqueur for their next dinner party. And that is the final lesson that you should be taking away from this. And Simon.
Yes?
Tell your mom and pa I say hi. And that I haven't seen them around town for a while.
I will. Do you have a minute?
Sure.
And Simon goes over to, I presume, is the front of the classroom type area.
Mm-hmm.
And says, so etiquette is the organization of behavior so that we can best enjoy the different foods.
I couldn't have said it better myself. But not just foods, it's also just the way that we interact with people in a way that they might expect us to. When you're meeting someone new, they don't have to guess at what your every move is going to be.
I think people have to do that with me, but that's okay.
I've been getting that sense about you since you walked in.
I'm working on it. I don't know. I wasn't so sure about etiquette, but I'm turning around. I think I get it. It's a bit elitist, though.
Listen, if you would like to practice your etiquette, you are welcome to come to my bar, which is a school by day and a bar by night. And you're welcome to come and, test out your skills on the other patrons. I think, I like that you keep people guessing. That's not a bad thing. As long as you have a little bit of the etiquette in there, they're going to think they know what to expect. And then you catch them off guard. And that's a powerful skill.
That's what I'm going to do with my flavors.
With the flavors of your personality or literally?
My cooking. I would like to try out some recipes.
Got it. Well, go forth, Simon, and try out your recipes. And don't forget to, my prickly pear liqueur is only $50. If you'd like to take some home for Ma and Pa, they would certainly appreciate it. Okay, well.
Sorry, and I know this was like 10 minutes ago, but I've been sitting here thinking about it. Instead of Ratatouille, it's Spider-Getty. Ew.
What the fuck?
Sorry.
Holy shit. Spider-Getty?
What the fuck? That's one of the most insane things I've ever heard. I don't know what those words mean.
I thought that, and then I didn't hear a thing for the next 10 minutes. So I was just waiting to say that, so I'm so sorry.
What's Spider-Getty?
Spider-Getty, Spider-Getty.
Never mind, we can move on. I'm sorry.
No, it's great. It's extremely important. Simon, you're equipped with a bunch of flavors to try around with. You're equipped with the knowledge of how to use these flavors to make something incredible, perhaps to even impress someone, maybe Ma, maybe Celestine and Crater, or maybe just yourself. You also leave with the skills to be elitist, and just knowing those is probably half the battle, you suspect. On one of the other days, Crater, you have a task that needs doing.
So what would be the closest city to Ma and Pa's? Because I'm assuming I don't have pip service out here at the farm.
You do not have pip service, not in the farm, not even in Lonestead. There's not a lot of service, period, out in the good on wilds. But You know that Ma and Pa, whenever they need something big or need to get their pips updated, they will go out to Bucharest, which is like a half a day's travel. It'll take you the whole day to get out there and come back.
Okay. I think Crater would do that. I think he wouldn't mind us having a day to himself. Like, he loves spending time with Celestine and Simon, but it's nice just to get away with your thoughts for a little bit.
Sure. You maybe borrow a vehicle from Ma and Pa, because the Hawk is still out of commission. And they do have something. It's just like a land-based vehicle, maybe a Ladybird. And you hop in, and they gladly lend you the keys and anything you need, and you set off by yourself to Bucharest.
I haven't driven one of these in years.
You drive for a long time across the Badlands, and then you see it. Bucharest is set squarely into the rolling hills of the Shakes, the area where, of course, tremors are common, but more plentiful than ever these days. You notice Bucharest's presence before you can see any structures, though. The dirt road starts to turn from a yellowish buff color to a deep red, and the red hills around you now vividly contrast the wide open blue sky. Bucharest shares many similarities with Midmoz being a mostly industrial city, but Bucharest is much, much larger. As you turn a corner, you see smoke rising from a number of light gray factories, sprawling buildings up the side of a hill, and along the road to the city, many signs promote a variety of products that apparently can only be found here. The best rusty red ale, only available at this bar, and the biggest T-Rex egg flights, only available at some mom-and-pop breakfast place. As you approach, the lights encompassing the city sign shine brightly, even though it's the middle of the day. Bucharest. The ruby of the good on wilds.
Yeah, I think after a long day of travel, and more so it is to like continue to work up the nerve to do this, I think Crater would probably go to a bar, fucking slam a drink or two.
On your way in and on the way to the bar, your phone blows up.
Okay.
There is easily 100, 200 texts from Pacemaker, all of them variations of where are you okay?
Yeah, I figured that. I think Crater would not respond right away. He would, again, I think he would go to a bar, have a drink by himself, just working up the nerve. And then after about an hour sitting there, a drink or two, he'll reach into his boiler and reach for a Scalifaxa. Notice that he's only got about four left in there. But he'd take one because, you know, this is going to be a tough, tough phone call. And he finishes his drink and then he's going to walk outside and try and find a quiet place. And, oh, dreading this moment. Then he's going to call Pacemaker.
Are you okay? I'm okay.
I am so sorry I haven't called you. We haven't had pip service in weeks now. Oh, listen.
Okay, Alisa,
and
we...
And okay, I know this is not really what this spell does, but like flavor-wise, can I cast Calm Emotions on Pacemaker?
Yeah, why not?
Absolutely.
Listen, Pacemaker.
Oh, it's so nice to hear from you.
I have been dreading calling you.
No. Whatever for?
I'm okay. Celestine's okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Riot didn't make it out of Paragarden, though.
Didn't make it out of Paragarden. She is still in Paragarden?
She's gone.
Crater?
Fuck, Celestine's better at doing this kind of shit than I am.
Crater, when you say gone, you mean...
She's dead. Yeah, it's been tough.
I feel oddly restrained. Emotionally, in this moment, I don't know.
Hey, Pacemaker, who are you talking to?
Oh, Carpazine. Crater, I just need a moment. Perhaps you can talk to Carpazine for a moment. Is that okay? Just give me 5 minutes.
Is that Crater? Holy shit.
Yeah, it's Crater. Crater, can you
tell me? Is that garbage? Is that garbage?
Yo, I thought you were dead. What the fuck? I sent you your drum kit, and then the city was, like, underwater. What the hell? Oh, my God. I'm so happy to see you.
Did you see me using that drum kit?
Yeah. That was fucking sick, dude.
It's fucking pretty sweet, right?
Hell yeah. Oh, man. Man, there's so... Pacemaker, are you good?
I don't know. I feel like there is something enormous and painful inside me trying to come out, and yet I feel a little calmer than I should. But Garbazin, ask Critter to tell you what he told me.
What? What's up?
You were going to be my next call.
Okay.
Riot's gone.
What do you mean gone?
She didn't make it out of Paragarden. It's just Celestine and I now.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I know you two were close.
No, that's not that. No, that doesn't make any sense. You guys were supposed. I don't understand. You guys were supposed to do your thing in Paragarden, and then we were. I don't know. I don't know if we were gonna meet up, but like I sent you your drum kit, so I figured that we were like still in contact. No, that's not correct.
I'm so sorry. I haven't called sooner. Like I was saying to Pacemaker, it's been a crazy couple of weeks. This is the first time I've really had a chance to get service. I know how you're feeling right now. I have the benefit of, fuck, I wouldn't even say benefit, but I've been sitting with this for a couple of weeks now, so it's not as raw. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Where do you need me to be? Because I'm coming, and we're getting fucking revenge on whoever did this. Yo, I've got a fucking trained...
I've killed him already.
Okay, well, there's someone else, like someone higher up, right? Like, there's gotta be... I mean, Riot didn't just die by the hands of some, like, one person. I don't believe it. So I have the Disasteroids, and we've been training, and they're actually kind of fucking fearsome at this point. So I have a team, and I'm gonna meet you. Where are you? I'm coming. We're coming. All of us, we're coming. Whatever you need, I'm there. I'm ready... We're gonna get whoever needs to be got.
Garbazine, I understand you're angry. I am going to take you up on that. I don't know when and I don't know where.
Yeah.
But we'll do it for Riot, okay?
We're ready right now. Crater, we're fucking ready. I'll meet you wherever you need me to be. I just have to go and like Snowshoe's been helping out the Disasteroids. I've been training them. I'm ready. Just let me help.
What I need from you right now is to grieve, okay? Because look, I'm gonna need your help at one point here, and I need you to not be acting with emotions. I need you acting with logic.
Yeah, I got that. Listen, you got my number. You fucking call me up when you're ready to talk about who we're gonna take down. But I can't do this right now.
Wait,
gotta go.
Don't hang up. Don't go ahead. Give me the phone back. Hello. Critter, hello?
Hey, Pacemaker.
Okay, Critter, Garbazin is I think he needs a moment. I myself am barely keeping it together. This is very unlike me. I don't suppose this is one of your tricks.
I've picked up a couple along the way.
Thank you, Critter. I really appreciate it. If you could give me just 1 hour before you lift it, I think I will be able to tell Snowshoe before I am in hysterics.
I am so sorry to say this spell only lasts for a minute.
Oh dear. Okay. And I think that there's just like a sudden outpouring of like absolutely heart-wrenching wails. And he keeps saying like, just a minute, don't go, just a minute. Okay.
Okay, I understand that you have your own grief to process right now, and I'm so sorry that I'm making my grief your business. Critter, I have news if you would like to hear it. It is good news. Some of it.
I Pacemaker, you have no idea how much I need to hear some good news right now.
Okay, well, maybe I'll lead with the medium news first.
Okay.
Well, the not-so-good news is that, well... We've been continuing to confiscate Rat as the young androids come up to the creation point, but word has gotten around that we have been confiscating it, and now rumor has it that many of the young androids are simply skipping the Cold Break creation point altogether. The ones that do come, so many of them are secretive and religious, and they don't seem invested in the creation point journey itself anymore. Their mind is elsewhere. But, on the bright side, Snowshoe and I are officially tutors.
That's amazing news. Thank you.
Oui, merci.
Congratulations, yes.
Yes. It's such good news. And, well, we do find this position very fulfilling, especially seeing as how I can will my trade as a doctor and work with Garbazine to whip the disasteroids into shape, and they are, well, very macho at this point. Oh, Crater, from the sounds of your conversation with Garbazine, it seems your adventure will not be over yet. But I want you to know that if things get to be too much, you can always come live here with me and Snowshoe and Garbazine.
Pacemaker, I appreciate that. You are the only person in the world that knows that it's not going to happen. That can't happen with the timeline.
Crater, will you do me a favor?
I can try.
When we talk about the future, let's pretend that yours is long and healthy and that we'll see each other again in Midmoss. Just, I don't know how I'll go on if we can't at least hope, have hope.
Yeah. You know what? I've been through so much shit, it wouldn't surprise me if your diagnosis was incorrect. I'm sure we'll see
each other. Exactly, I'm such a bad doctor. You know? I mean, I lot of angry former patients out there. Who knows about me? Anyways, thank you, Crater. I miss you so terribly.
I miss you too. Make sure Garbazine stays out of trouble, Lay.
I will. Oh, Garbazine is no trouble at all. In fact, he's the one that keeps us out of trouble. Bon voyage, Crater.
Bon voyage, mon ami.
Parfait.
Okay.
Perhaps you order another drink. Well, maybe not too many. You are the only driver. These things have autopilot, though, so...
It's the fucking back roads.
You have a responsible amount more to drink after delivering some heavy news, but perhaps living in the comfort for a moment of speaking to an old friend, especially after what happened, and you head back. You all have a few days left before you need to leave for the Fisher, and one last item of business that needs to be taken care of before you head out there is, of course, your hawk, your grounded hawk, with a fresh paint job to be sure, but it's not doing so good with all the acid rains. And Celestine, you know of who you might take it to, or at least you know the spot. And so you all start to head into town.
You're on your way between Ma and Pa's farm and Lonestead, a path you've walked many, many times, and you push the hawk slowly, laboriously, and a 20-minute walk will take about an hour. And about halfway through, I think you hear something on the horizon. It's very faint, and at first you can ignore it, but then it grows louder and louder and familiar to you, Celestine. The revving of an engine and the squeal of tires. And you look up to see a vehicle careening towards you, and as it draws closer, it begins to drive in circles around the three of you, going in tighter and tighter loops and kicking up a storm of reddish sand that gets in your teeth and obscures your vision. The vehicle finally comes to a screeching halt a few feet away. You hear the driver's side door open and a pair of feet crunching on dirt. Through the cloud of sand appears a tall, broad-shouldered and smirking young man with tanned olive skin, and his eyes in a perpetual squint. He wears all black and all leather, from his cowboy hat to his boots and his black jeans. All leather, that is, aside from his chest, which he wears bare so as to display his abs and impressive chest hair. A belt and bandolier made of thick chains jangles as he walks toward you. Crater and Simon, you note that he is a modded human. You spy his mechanical right hand and left foot, which can rearrange to become a gear shift and a clutch, as Celestine knows well from their racing days. And after a moment spent sizing you up, Reap Jangler spits on the ground and sneers.
Well, well, looks like Celestine wander off, done wander back with his tail atween his legs.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A change of seasons means adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow, or all of the above on the same day. This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. With all-condition traction and materials and features to keep you comfy and dry no matter what, you'll be ready for anything. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. Allbirds.com, code FRESHSOCKS.